Good morning, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios for this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Welcome again into the studio for this Monday morning news hour. Are no longer new. See, it went from new Ray to new-ish to no longer new.
I like it.
It's official. News hour, where we start the week off talking with people who are watching, making, and writing the news about the news stories coming out of the weekend, shaping the week ahead. Here with us in just a moment will be Nicole Ludden, the local government reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. We're going to talk about a busy week with some big decisions from the Tucson City Council and even a little bit about the county. We'll talk some budgets. We'll talk some water. We will cover local news and politics for you here as we get the week started. We'll talk some sports, some big Arizona sports stories. We don't really talk sports on the show except on special occasions. Today is one. And then early voting started in New York City for the mayoral primary race. A many way race between many Democrats. Later this month, the primary will be over. We will know from ranked choice voting, which is happening for the first time in New York City, who is probably the mayor, whoever wins the Democratic primary of New York City. Why do we care? I'll give you the update, and I'll let you know why I think it's relevant. We do try to keep things super local here. All right, 790-2040. It's the number that Nicole Ludden used to call in, coming to Tucson by way of Cronkite School at Arizona State University. We now get to have her skills and talents in the city of Tucson. Nicole, good morning to you.
Good morning, Zach.
Hope you had a cool weekend. I hope most of it was inside. It's a hot one out there.
Yes, definitely.
So speaking of something that will cool you off when it's hot, water, the city council had a big meeting last Tuesday about raising water rates, differential water rates for unincorporated Pima County residents. A vote was not taken on those differential water rates. Instead, it was pushed off for another 2 weeks. Why was the decision postponed till later this month? And what are you hearing? What do you think the vote's going to be?
Right. So council members held a public hearing on the issue at their meeting last Tuesday, and they got a variety of different input from, you know, different citizens in Tucson and unincorporated Pima County calling in. Ultimately, as you said, they decided to postpone making a decision until June 22nd, which is their next meeting, and revisit some of those proposed rate structures. Councilmember Paul Cunningham, who is the staunch advocate of the rate hikes, actually proposed a motion that was approved unanimously to look further into four of those potential options out of the eight total rate hikes being considered. And as far as what I think what is going to happen, you know, it's really up in the air at this point. All of the city council members have at one point expressed support for these rate hikes for unincorporated residents, as they all voted to approve their notice of intent to raise hikes at their April 6th meeting. But the Citizens Water Advisory Committee for Tucson, which advises mayor and council on these sort of decisions, have been adamantly opposed. Most of the members have been adamantly opposed to these rate hikes, and they actually recommended mayor and council hold off until fall of 2021 to make a decision, but the mayor and council didn't take the Citizen Water Advisory's advice, which was to not even go ahead and move forward with these rate hikes. So we'll see what happens and what kind of input they decide to consider and how that ultimately influences the decision they make.
Yeah, Nicole, it's interesting. Councilmember Steve Kozacik mentioned at the meeting that he had not yet seen and wanted to see kind of what the, and I'm having the Monday morning word jumble, you probably have the word, my best stab is kind of use of service rates. In other words, There's been claims that if you live in unincorporated, it costs more. No one's actually done that research. He wanted to see it. And since then, he started to say, I'm kind of on the fence about it. Some interesting shift there. Do you think other council members are rethinking this as well, or is he on his own on this?
You know, it's hard to say. Some council members, such as Vice Mayor Nikki Lee and Lane Santa Cruz, haven't really voice much of their opinion on this. But yes, as you said, Steve Kubatschik was vocal about wanting a cost of service study, which is a cost of service study forms the basis for utility rate hikes typically. And the Citizens Water Advisory Committee has asked for that to justify a rate increase for unincorporated county residents. Does it really cost more money to serve them? And would that potentially justify charging them more for their water service?
Interesting. We're only going to take one segment on this. I actually have a lot that I want to chat with you about, and I really appreciate you coming on, Nicole Ludden, local government reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. You are in the weeds on these issues, and it's great for this program to have you on. The city council and the county, the board of supervisors, were supposed to have a meeting last Friday. I'm starting to hear some weird reasons why it never happened. But it disappointed a number of those involved. It was going to be a tough come to Jesus moment on many difficult issues that are really in the crawl of both the county and the city council. It didn't happen. Supervisor Steve Christie actually broke that news on this show on Wednesday, about a half an hour after he got the email. What are you hearing? Why didn't they meet, and are they going to meet before the 22nd?
Yeah, I was actually looking forward to that meeting for some of the issues there. Supposed to hash.
Hope you had your popcorn ready.
Yes, I did. What I've been hearing is that there were some scheduling conflicts on both the city council members and the board of supervisors' part. That's pretty much the thrust of it from my understanding, but it should be rescheduled is what I'm hearing. But that is all I know as of right now.
Sure. And that rescheduled by the 22nd or maybe not?
Well, hopefully before the 22nd, just because differential water rates are one of the things they were set to discuss on that agenda. But we will see. Maybe it'll be this week.
As we wrap this up, we'll go to break in about a minute and a half and then turn the page on this conversation. What are you hearing from individuals like Supervisor Rex Scott and others who did, as you say, call into the city council meeting last week? What are the county's continued concerns about the dialogue the city is having on differential water rates? Where is the county coming from on this?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Supervisor Rex Scott actually represents many unincorporated residents in District 1, where he represents. He's been very vocal about his opposition to differential rates, as has County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Scott has made arguments such as there hasn't been a cost of service study conducted, like we discussed, to justify those rate increases. He says it actually costs more to serve some Tucson water customers at higher elevations within city limits. And Huckleberry is saying things like raising water rates wouldn't support annexation, which is one of the arguments the city has for raising water rates, and says that any additional revenue the city receives in state-shared revenue taxes may actually be absorbed by having to serve those newly incorporated areas and provide those municipal services like police protection.
Interesting. Yeah, I won't get into that last piece. I was just going to say that I agree on the annexation side. I don't see how this is a stick or a carrot to create annexation into the city. Certainly, I think those who are being charged higher rates will not feel represented. However, it might create incorporation. Those are two different things, and or maybe not. I don't know. But I was just going to say, I don't think annexation will happen from this. I think the CWAC is correct in that. Incorporation is probably a different story. Nicole Ludden is with us, local government reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. When we come back, we're going to switch topics. The city of Tucson is looking at amending city code for casitas. Where is that in the process? Also, the city council discussed their fiscal year 2022 budget. What's in the budget? What does the budget look like? We're talking all about it with Nicole Ludden after a break. We'll be right back.
Radio by and for the people of Tucson. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is bringing back two special galleries, the Indigenous Arts Gallery and the Schmidt Gallery of Latin American Folk Art. See contemporary artworks brought to you by a committee of Indigenous community curators, exploring 21st century Indigenous peoples, cultural sovereignty, and practices. Examine how traditions from many regions of the Americas evolve and take on new meanings in a changing world. See both Thursday to Sunday weekly, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Reserve your tickets today at TucsonMuseumOfArt.org.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429. Equal housing opportunity.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Hey, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, of this drive time hour of Tipping Point, in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We're recapping some of the big local political news of last week here on this Monday morning news hour with Nicole Ludden, the local government affairs reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. Nicole, welcome back on the air.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes. So I want to get into it real quick. We've got you for about 10 more minutes here. The Tucson City Council last week, other than talking about water and differential rates, also discussed kind of the ceiling of their fiscal year 2022 budget. I know you look at the budgets for both the city and the county. Anything standing out, anything of interest that you're seeing for this year's budget as compared to the last one or two?
Yeah, so as you said, Mayor and Council approved a tentative budget setting the ceiling for fiscal year 2022 at $1.8 billion. And since City Manager Michael Ortega originally proposed the budget, it was adjusted in four general areas, which are community safety, resilient recovery, which is COVID-19-related recovery, employee retention, and some other budgetary concerns. And I know those are a lot of wide topics that I'm happy to dive into for you.
Yeah, you know, one that certainly came up in a bit of a testy way, there was an interaction between Councilmember Lane Santa Cruz and City Manager Ortega. Since time is limited, let's talk community safety. Tell me about that line item and some of the points that were brought up by the council around it.
Sure. So it looks like the budget for community safety is going to be about $5.1 million. And the city is continuing to look at what community policing means and how those services should be delivered. Tucson initiated its community safety program in response to calls for defunding the police following George Floyd's death in May last year. And instead of not necessarily pulling money away from the police department, but they're putting money towards more social worker programs. So they're in phase two of that community safety program. They're hiring 8 social workers, some community engagement coordinators, and building on the city's Housing First program. So it looks like we're sort of seeing them move into a direction of providing those social programs instead of necessarily just policing programs.
Nicole Ludden, local government reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. Before I forget, I also wanted to ask you about the motion made. I think it's even called an ordinance, putting a 2022 ballot item or an item on the ballot next year. What are you hearing about that? Can you clarify my word jumble? And what does the council hope to put on the ballot next year?
You know, I'm not actually sure what you're referring to there. I couldn't really be helpful there.
Got it. I need to go back and look at that. I guess it comes around. My best guess it would be that Prop 101, the 5-year term for that ends next year. And so I think the city council is making way to put an item on the ballot. My assumption has been that it's around Move Tucson, which was also brought up at the city council meeting. Maybe we go there next. The Department of Transportation Mobility presented, what was it, $5 billion plus of transportation infrastructure needs.
Right. It looks like the total tentative budget for Department of Transportation Mobility is about $240 million for next year. But of course, some of that will be earmarked for Move Tucson, this larger regional transportation plan for Tucson.
Yeah, I was amazed to look at, I wouldn't call it the department's wish list. I think they took all of the community feedback they got and put it in a list. And of course, only a fraction of that list will get done. But in terms of the wish list and priority, there are billions of dollars of need. We know that there's about $1 billion just to fix the roads we have, which is crazy.
Yes, definitely is an ongoing issue there, and definitely priority for this mayor and council with the Move Tucson plan.
We'll come back to the city in just a second, Nicole. We're fitting a lot in, but the city of Tucson specifically was very busy last week. You are the local government reporter. Just a quick note, I wondered if you were hearing anything or have any thoughts. After serving 20 years on the force, we'll go up to Oro Valley, Nicole. Oro Valley retired police chief Daniel Sharp announced he's going to run for Oro Valley mayor in 2022. He's getting a bit of an early start. Are you hearing anything from our neighbors to the north?
You know, I shamefully have not covered some of those other jurisdictions as much thus far in my time at the Arizona Daily Star, so I don't have much information for that, but that will definitely be an interesting topic to look into in the future.
Absolutely. And that was a bit of a freebie. Wasn't on the list. We just have listeners all over Greater Tucson, so I'm always trying to make sure that we're connecting with everyone. Okay, back to the city of Tucson. There's enough on that list. While we have you for about 4 more minutes, the city of Tucson is looking at amending city code for casitas, kind of mother-in-law suites, also called accessory dwelling units. Where's that in the process, and is there community support for changing that zoning?
Yeah, I think there definitely is community support. This whole process of allowing for those accessory dwelling units or casitas happened in November, and while casitas are allowed right now, and the city code doesn't permit them to be dwelling units. So city staff held 4 public meetings in May, engaged public input, and they developed a draft proposal to set the parameters for those casitas and kind of what they would look like. And so far, the proposed regulations are a maximum of 1,000 square feet per casita, 1 parking space is required for a casita, there could only be 1 casita per residential lot, and they must have a cool roof, which is a roofing system with high solar reflectance.
Interesting. When will this, what is the process from here then in front of mayor and council now that we've had those public information sessions? When does this go for an official decision?
Sure. So the Planning Commission study sessions and public hearings are scheduled throughout June and July, and they will refine this proposal further, and then Mayor and Council will ultimately consider those findings and potentially adopt the code change in September.
Got it. And then this is another one that just popped into mind. This is related, but not on our list, Nicole. The Sunshine Mile overlay is also kind of going to be considered around the same time, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Got it. Let's see. Anything else? I think we've got you for 2 more minutes precisely, Nicole. Anything else we didn't cover that is interesting to Tucsonans about any of the issues or decisions being made by our local government entities?
Yeah, well, the Pima County Board of Supervisors is kind of going through their budgeting process at the same time. They adopted a ceiling of $2.1 billion for the county's budget for fiscal year 2022. This is the biggest budget in county history, and there are some key factors driving that, such as $350 million in federal grants for COVID-19-related expenses.
Got it. I know for the county, this is a bigger budget than it usually is. Is this also a bigger budget for the city of Tucson, or is it comparable to past years?
You know, I think Tucson is more comparable to past years than Pima County is, but I think it also is inflated for things like employee retention. They're doing a citywide employee raise and also some COVID-19 dollars built into there.
Got it. Nicole Ludden, local government reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. Can't thank you enough for making a few minutes here on what has been a monthly basis lately to come on and share what you're watching, what you're hearing, what you're writing about. I encourage our listeners to look out for your pieces in the Arizona Daily Star. I think they're very good. I think you do a great job, Nicole, and I really appreciate you coming on the air and sharing it with us live here on Tipping Point.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Zach. I really appreciate it.
Yes, we'll do this again soon. Nicole Ludden, local government reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. When we come back, we'll talk some baseball, we'll talk some Suns, we'll talk New York City mayoral primary race and why I think it's relevant to be talking about in Tucson. Lots more to go here on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back.
Bloomberg Money Minute and CBS News at the bottom of every hour. 1030, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is bringing back two special galleries, the Indigenous Arts Gallery and the Schmidt Gallery of Latin American Folk Art. See contemporary artworks brought to you by a committee of Indigenous community curators, exploring 21st century Indigenous peoples, cultural sovereignty, and practices. Examine how traditions from many regions of the Americas evolve and take on new meanings in a changing world. See both Thursday to Sunday weekly, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Reserve your tickets today at TucsonMuseumOfArt.org.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson and all of Southern Arizona, welcome on back into the 1030 The Voice studios as we continue this drive time hour of Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. We get into the issues, ideas, politics, policies, issues and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And on Monday, we do a news hour trying to catch up from the news of the past week and weekend and what it means for the week ahead. We just had on Nicole Ludden, the local government reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. We talked a wide range of issues. A busy week for the City Council here in Tucson and the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Lots of issues on the table. If you missed that conversation, you can check us out on the podcast. You can go to kvy.com, iTunes, Spotify. All three of those places will have our podcast of this hour just shortly this morning. So go ahead and check that out. Ray, I don't usually do this except on special occasions, but a big sports weekend for Tucson and Arizona worth covering. The U of A men's baseball team is headed to the College World Series. A 16-3, it's a football score, 16-3 defeat over Ole Miss yesterday evening on Sunday. It's going to be the U of A's 18th trip to the College World Series and the third since 2012. The Wildcats have four national titles overall and were runners-up in 2016, reports our friends over at KOLD. Big game last night. What a spring for U of A sports. I mean, it's exciting. It's been crazy.
It has. You know, I was at the game Saturday night.
Okay.
And it was
kind of went the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It went the other way. You know,
sort of similar score, actually.
Yeah, probably had to do with pitching. Our pitching was not good. Our offense this year is really good, and they can really get it going. You know, I went to another game earlier in the season, and they just got going early in the game, and we left early because it was getting late and it was a weeknight, but by 9 o'clock they had, you know, 8-9 runs, and once they get going, this just doesn't stop. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think I would have preferred yesterday's game, but I'm glad you went to one this
weekend.
Yeah,
I would have preferred it too, but you know, the exciting part of it was that there were so many people.
Yeah,
it was just, it had that sense of getting back to normal.
Yeah.
And I think everyone kind of wants to be there, you know?
100%.
When I went to the game last month, they were requiring the masks everywhere you went, and this time there were none. It just felt normal and good to be in a place where you kind of felt like you were back to something that felt, you know, just good. It was great.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting. The U of A men's and women, or men's football team and men's basketball team, which are, you know, usually kind of more of the headline sports, the headline events have been in a rocky place lately. And so it's been really fun to see, I think, starting with the U of A women's basketball team going to the championship, and then the women's softball team going as far as they did. They lost their championship game, but they went super far.
Yep.
Just a couple weekends ago.
Uh-huh.
And then the U of A men's team, which I think some of us forget, are a regular visitor to the College World Series.
Absolutely.
And they're back again. And so it's been a really cool spring for U of A sports.
It has. And, you know, there's something cool about High Corbett. I don't know what it is, but it's an intimate little place, and you feel close to everything because you are. And that's kind of one of the things that, you know, the bigger places like Chase Field miss out on, is that when you're in this small, intimate environment, it makes baseball really fun because you're close up to the action and you can really get to know your neighbors and get to know the people that are out there cheering on the Cats. And it's exciting. And then you also get to see, you know, I got to see the president of the school. And then the basketball coach was sitting up in the box seats, and Mike Andrea's walking around down there, and I walked right by him, and he's talking to people. So it's kind of, in a way, this cool feeling of just excitement, and people are all standing around, you know, banging on the side of the bleachers and stuff.
Yes.
It was fun. It was really fun.
I love it. Yeah, you know, I think that's my excuse for when I talk about sports. I don't usually do it. This is not a sports show. In another life, I may do a sports show just because I've always thought that would be fun. This is not it.
You should.
But the U of A and the community created around the U of A, but especially its sports, I mean, that is a local thing, that the connection between the community and sports. And I think what makes a special down here in Tucson is, you know, Ray can wander around High Corbett and, you know, oh, there's the president, and there's Mike Candrea. And it kind of humanizes. There's a very human experience in Tucson with us and our sports and a lot of our leadership. I think it's just really special for Tucson.
Yeah, that's kind of all we have. You know, that's one of the things that, not in a bad way, but in a good way.
Yeah.
When we have the Wildcats, we've got, as far as basketball and as far as football is concerned, but we have all these other sports that go on. And it's all we have. You know, if you want to go to a bigger sport, you have to drive to Phoenix.
Right.
And you don't always want to do that. So this gives me the opportunity to drive 5 minutes and be at a game. And that's great for a cheap price, you know?
Absolutely. Well, speaking of the community up north that has many more options, the Phoenix Suns completed a 4-game sweep of the Denver Nuggets. The Phoenix Suns won 125-118. Last evening. They're heading to the conference finals.
Yeah.
We'll either face the Jazz and the Clippers.
Yep, one of those two teams.
To be decided. But the Suns are on a 6 or 7-game streak.
They
to close out the Lakers and then beat Denver. Did you watch the game last night?
I watched some of the game. I was had other stuff going on in the afternoon and evening, but I watched the last quarter. And it was just exciting to get to see the Suns do what they haven't done in a long time.
Right.
You know, the last time they were there was 1993, and I think, right?
Did they go when Nash was playing?
I could be wrong.
You've got me questioning now.
So, I don't know. We'll look it up. I'll look it up on the break. So, yeah. So, it's exciting, and it's fun to see Phoenix actually do well. They've been bad for so long. And it's cool to see Chris Paul score a lot of points.
Yes.
After coming off of an injury.
Not bad for a 36-year-old.
With the Lakers. Yeah, exactly. And it's cool to see, you know, U of A grad DeAndre Ayton doing well as a big man there.
Finally.
So all of that is exciting, and it's fun to watch. The Denver Nuggets were down a man, which was terrible. And then Nikola Jokic got ejected, or kind of not early, but at the third quarter of the game because of a flagrant 2, which was kind of iffy at best.
I was going to bring that up, and a little bit of Suns history before we're done with this. I was going to bring that up. I think it was it Jamal Murray or Ja Morant? One of those two, of course, these are NBA stars, tweeted during the game that the league is just becoming so soft. Now, look, Nikola Jokic wound up. He meant to do a hard foul. He meant to make a foul, but I watched it, and yes, it was on purpose, and it was meant to foul, but it didn't really make that much contact. the league is becoming soft.
Yeah.
I try not to be that, you know, just back in my days it was tougher. The league is becoming soft. The things that are being called fouls, they're just ridiculous. And I don't want anyone to get hurt, but we are a long shot from the Detroit Pistons, Lakers of old, you know, some of those. Let's get into the paint and let's battle it out. We don't have that anymore.
No, we don't. Okay, so let's correct the record real quick.
Let's do it.
Nash did lead the Suns to the conference finals in 2004-05. And the last time that we made it to the finals, I believe, was 1993 with Barkley. So that was what I was thinking of.
Yeah, and I had a friend say, you know, he grew up following the Suns. So there was the early 90s with Barkley and Marley and so many of those players.
Kevin Johnson.
And that was kind of a glory era. And
it was.
And then it was rough until like kind of the Nash, Sean Marion, Stoudemire era. And then it's been another rough patch. A friend of mine said he's watched both sets and he likes this one in particular, the Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, Booker, likes this era, not so much for the flashiness that I think we had in the first two cohorts, if you will, but there's some gritty kind of just execute kind of leadership. I mean, Chris Paul brings a really special leadership
to
the floor.
Yep.
He had a great game last night, but he's not usually super splashy. He just goes in there and gets the job done. And there's something kind of cool about this group forming.
There is. And I think what else is interesting is that Arizona's kind of on the map right now.
It is.
You know, when you see Guy Fieri in the audience.
Yes.
Standing there.
Next to President Crow. President Crow.
Exactly. And then you've got, you know, who's no longer a Tucson tie, but he was there. Sean Miller hanging out with all of his former players. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of cool because Arizona's coming into its own in a way because there's a lot of people moving here. And so it's nice to see the Suns doing well as that's happening.
Yeah. There's a lot of other reasons we're on the radar. I'm glad the Suns are overshadowing them. I'll take it.
Yeah, you know, when you have a good sports team, it kind of brings that energy. Even if you're a bandwagon fan, kind of like I am, you know, if they're doing bad, it's not fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, what am I going to watch? Them lose? It's just not fun. So it makes sense, but it's cool to watch now, right. And they're worth cheering on. So
I'm going to go out on a limb because I don't think it's a limb. that came out a lot funnier than I thought it was going to come out. At least I thought it was funny. I'm going to go out on a limb because
sense.
I don't think it's going out on a limb. I'm watching the Clippers and the Jazz. I think the Jazz are going to be a tougher out for the Suns. But I look at those two teams. I think the Suns have a real chance, not just because I'm a homer, but a real chance to make it to the finals.
I think so too, and you know, depending upon what happens with the other in the East,
seriously,
you know, there's a lot of things that are going on as far as injuries are concerned that could really turn the tide for the Suns. One of the things that a lot of these teams have done this season, especially coming out of the bubble, is to rest players a lot.
Yeah,
and it means that these teams haven't had the opportunity to gel like the Suns have. You know, one of the things that the Suns did do that was really smart was continue to play as a team throughout the rest of the regular season.
Right.
And it's given them that opportunity to peak at the right time, and they are. You know, the Nets sat people for a long time and didn't play. So did a lot of other teams because they were tired, which makes sense because they just had the finals like less than a year ago. So it's kind of cool to see the Suns doing the opposite thing of a lot of other teams. And the coach for the Suns is a great guy.
He's a great dude.
And it seems like he really knows what he's doing, and it's awesome.
In a league where there's a lot of how do we get, you know, you look at the Nets, and then we're done here with this. Harden, and you have Blake Griffin, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. You know, that's a lot of this new era of teams of let's smush these players together for 3 or 4 years and try to get a championship out of it. What I love about the Booker story and the Suns is this is a team that has grown up together. DeAndre was hurt for a while. I mean, it just didn't gel for a couple of years. And there was no whining, no crying. There was growth together. Let's make it happen. Chris Paul came on the team. And now you've got a bunch of young guys who have gelled together, who are ready for the long haul. And I just always appreciate those young men that stick it out and put in their time to a degree and then see success from it. I always am glad when they get the success that they deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that story that matters. And the other storyline that's kind of interesting is the Chris Paul I'm losing his name, but the coach, he coached Chris Paul early in his career. So they're back together, reunited in Phoenix. And so that's an interesting storyline as well. So
super cool.
Something to watch.
Absolutely. Again, it's worthwhile bringing up because our men's team is now going to the World Series. Big news. And I think this win last night puts the Suns on a real path towards going to the NBA championship. So big things for Arizona. It's why it makes sense for our news hour here on Monday. Ray, maybe we both should do a show. I think we just had a little more fun than we expected that segment.
Here's the thing.
You are a spring of sports
I'm
trivia.
Not. I just parrot other people. That's all.
You listen to a lot of sports.
I do.
When we come back, the New York City mayor's primary race kicked off this weekend, early voting. Why do we care in Tucson? I'll give some of my thoughts on what we're seeing there and why it's maybe a bellwether for other parts of the country. That's how we'll wrap up here on 1030 The Voice. Tipping Point returns in just a minute.
From Oro Valley to Vail and everywhere in between, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento. If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more. Why I Love Where I Live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at Mass Mutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Hey And we're back here in the 1030 The Voice studios. Zach Yenser here, your host of Tipping Point, wrapping up our Monday morning news hour. Something that I've been tracking a lot lately on the complete opposite side of the country, and I'll talk about why I think it matters here. But over the weekend, and by the way, if you've missed any of the show, we talked with Nicole Ludden, local government reporter for the Arizona Daily Star, about local political issues. Ray and I just talked about a big weekend for Arizona sports and why we think that fits into a Monday morning news hour. Now I wanted to wrap up by talking about a story that is happening on the complete other side of the country and why I think it matters here locally, why I think it's a trend that we should be watching for. And that is the New York City mayoral primary. Now, of course, two important things to know. The Republican field is awful in New York City right now. It just keeps getting worse and worse. No doubt the individual who wins the Democratic primary in New York on June 22nd is going to be the next mayor of New York City. So that's point number one. Point number two is that early voting started on Saturday. And the interesting wrinkle into New York City politics is ranked choice voting. So voters have a chance to rank up to their top five candidates. And then they will look at that top five and they will figure out who is getting the most votes. A very interesting new model. I don't think it's working as well as folks wanted it to, just in terms, it's the first time. There's a lot been in the news of, you know, it's a new thing. People are going to still figure it out. But what's been interesting has been looking at who is atop the field, at least as things get started, that being Andrew Yang, a former presidential candidate, and Eric Adams, a former Republican, by the way, in the 1990s, I believe, and a former police officer, now a Democrat, supported heavily by Democrats in the city. Those are the top two. And what has been interesting is whether it's the New York Times, whether it is the Atlantic, there have been a lot of what you would consider kind of left of center news sources starting to talk about this odd trend in one of America's most progressive cities, a bastion of progressivism on paper. We are seeing the more conservative candidates in the race. And I say that word relatively.
You're using that word liberally.
I'm using that word liberally, relatively, are seeing the candidates who are more conservative on issues like homelessness,
yeah,
and jobs and crime reduction and so on and so forth, start to have more success in a field where there are some very progressive individuals when it comes to all of those issues. And what we're seeing out of the Times, out of the Atlantic, is this question of, are progressive policies working in America's biggest progressive city? Are people turning away from it? Are we seeing a slowdown of the popularity of progressive politics? And I've talked a lot about Republican blind spots. I think that there are the most passionate and the most involved people can get so in the weeds and so involved in their political processes on both sides that I think everyone has that chance to get a blind spot when it comes to what the people that are going to ultimately vote for them actually care about. I actually, Ray, worry about that for me. I'm an active and involved person, not necessarily in a party or the other, but just on issues. And sometimes I come into studio and I wonder, man, I would love someone to call me to make sure that I'm talking about the issues that they and their neighbors are talking about. Because I think you can get so in the weeds, you forget the forest. On issues including homelessness, education, and especially policing, the most progressive prescriptions have not always been popular, even in heavily Democratic neighborhoods in New York City, reports The Times, and are certainly not seeing the most engagement now. Linda Acosta, 50, says as she walks into the Bronx night market off Fordham Road, more police need to be out here. There are residents, long-term Democratic voting residents of New York City, who are in these news journals saying, I have never seen New York City this way. The crime, the homelessness, the lack of jobs, the lack of tourism, the difficulty of mental health issues. I have never seen it this bad. And it's interesting to hear kind of harkenings back to the Bloomberg era. And here's why I think it's relevant. Here's why I think it's relevant. And this is why I said that I have pointed out on this show what I think are Republican blind spots. I am even-handed in this way. But I think what we're starting to notice around the country is that progressive-led communities, sometimes Democratic-led communities, have a really hard time keeping their eye on the ball of essential issues. A focus on the essential issues of public safety, community health, housing, jobs, and economic development, parks, roads, those essentials of what it means to live in a city. Now, I think we are seeing often a tendency to take the eye off the ball of those issues. And I think what's fascinating, Ray, is that strong Democratic voters at the end of the day care about those issues too.
They have to live in those communities.
And I think we view Republicans as a monolith and Democrats as a monolith. But in New York City, as well as I think other communities across the country, I think those communities will ultimately have a come to Jesus moment with the voters when it gets to a point that it is in New York City. When the essentials haven't been taken care of for so long, you have crime. You have crime atop the issue that Democratic voters want their candidates to go for. And the candidate that is being supported by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is falling behind the African-American Democrat who wants to start packing as he walks around the street.
Yeah.
And we're seeing this as a trend. We can't forget that no matter who you are and where you live and who you vote for, at the end of the day, you are a neighbor wanting safe communities, wanting good, just community policing, wanting jobs and opportunity. I was talking to a neighbor in my neighborhood yesterday, and I heard the same things. Everybody kind of wants the same thing. We don't talk about it in the news. We don't talk about it in some of the politically active rooms. But we forget neighbors are neighbors, whether they are R or D. We're seeing it in New York City. I think we'll see it everywhere, including Tucson.
Yeah, I think when the ideologues take over is when these things kind of go one way or the other. And that's the tough part, you know?
Right. So interesting stuff. We will see in a few days. Again, early ranked choice voting started on Saturday. We'll see what happens in New York City. I do think it's a bit of a bellwether across the country. We know nationally the Democrats got together, did what the Republicans should be doing, and took kind of a postmortem of 2020 and why it wasn't more successful, and saw that the Democrats don't talk about jobs and public safety well enough. And you see it in New York City. I think they're right. So we'll see which party figures out the blind spot first. But I thought that was an interesting story to kind of tie up the show and kick off the week. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster at noon. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow here on Tipping Point. Stay safe and cool out there, Tucson. Take care, and we'll see you tomorrow.